Hola y bienvenido a Let Us Talk. Today we talk about bullfighting, that's why we made the introduction in Spanish. And today we have a new guest. Would you like to introduce yourself, Maite van Gerwe?
Yeah, thanks. I'm Maite van Gerwe. I'm the director of CAS International, and that's a Dutch organization committed to end bullfighting and related events that cause animal suffering. And CAS is an abbreviation of the Dutch words Comité Anti-Stierenvechten, so the Committee Against Bullfighting.
Thank you very much. And with you we have two other people from our student association who are also part of the Vegan Student Association. You already know Christina from last episode, but today we also have a new member, Sjoerd. Would you like to introduce yourself as well?
Yes, hi, I'm Sjoerd, and I really like to talk about these subjects because I think it's very important to think about how we treat animals.
Most people don't really know what happens in bullfighting, so we wanted to ask you what exactly happens to the bulls.
The first thing I'd like to say is that none of the bulls will survive it. So all the bulls are killed during the bullfight. And one bullfight is done with six bulls in total after each other. And every fight lasts about 20 minutes. And during the fight, the bull is first provoked by the bullfighter, because actually the bulls don't want to fight. That's actually their first response. So there's a lot of things needed to make the bull start to run and starting to, well, so to say, to attack, which is mm-hmm. more running to the bullfighter. And what they also do is that they injure the bull during the fight. So this can happen from people on horses. So they have a kind of spears with sharp points, and which they put into the bull. And at a certain moment, they also use the so-called banderillas. So that are the kind of harpoon-like things with hooks on it. So they are put in the bull's back, and they can't be removed without really injuring. So then the bull starts already bleeding, and of course the bull is then also in pain and will go crazy, so to say, and run more. And then eventually they use a large sword which they put into the back of the bull, so just behind the head. And then it is actually meant that this sword will hit the heart, so that the animal will eventually bleed to death. However, it's very complicated to touch the heart or to hit the heart with that. So usually it's put in the lungs or in one lung, and then the bull starts coughing. Also, it's his own blood, and he will also, well, suffocate in his own blood. Mm-hmm. However, in many cases, the bull doesn't die immediately from this. So, but he collapses, for example, and then he's on the ground. And after that, they will, with a smaller knife, put that knife in his skull or in his brains in order to kill it. It's supposed that this should be done as soon as possible, so to say, or in one step. However, sometimes it's also needed, and there are videos from this as well. I think PETA usually shows these kind of videos also on their social media accounts, for example, in which they need to step multiple times. Mm-hmm. So it's, if I describe it, it's very technical, of mm-hmm. course, but I see it just as torturing an animal to death, basically.
Yeah, it sounds horrific.
And and this is all legal, and it's even all prescribed to do it in that way. So mm-hmm. there are regulations, and also there is a large book with all the descriptions on how a bullfight should go and which stages there are. Mm-hmm. So this is all meant to be, so to say.
Yeah, and to my understanding, this happens mostly in Spain. Could you elaborate on where exactly this is still happening?
Mostly in Spain is what mm-hmm. most people think.
Yeah.
However, there are seven other countries mm-hmm. in which this bullfighting, because this is the classical traditional bullfight, mm-hmm. Happens. And actually the largest bullfighting country where the most bullfights are still organized is Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then it's it's happening in two other European countries, and that's Portugal. However, in Portugal, the bull is not killed in the arena, but killed afterwards in a slaughterhouse. And in certain towns in the south of France, it's also happening. While in France, it's actually forbidden, but in those regions, it's still allowed. And then there are other countries in Latin America, and that's beside Mexico, it's Colombia, Venezuela, Ecuador, and Peru.
So the Spanish-speaking countries.
The Spanish-speaking countries, and so there it has been introduced clearly also by the Spaniards when they came there first.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happening in many more countries, and for the most people, Spain is the most famous country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said two different things that I want to get into a bit. First, you said that the animals are provoked, the bulls, to get angry. And also, probably, that also happens in other countries where they don't kill the bull, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And the provocation, what does it entail? Is it like a little bit like the rodeo riding, where they do the tail twisting, which is very painful? Or what kind of methods do they use?
No, it's the bullfighter with his red cloth, yeah. And also the clothing of the bullfighter,
mm-hmm.
because on his clothes there are also certain glinstering aspects,
mm-hmm.
and this will make that the sight of the bull is complicated.
Mm-hmm.
He's
confused.
And he gets confused, and also by the movement. So it's actually many people think that these bulls are provoked by the color red,
mm-hmm.
or pink, or something. Mm-hmm. But this is actually not the case, because these animals don't see the colors in that way. But
mm-hmm.
they are provoked by the movements and also the glinstering things. And of course, by the other things that are used to injure the bull.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's obvious that you are injured, that you will do something or try to defend yourself.
In the countries where you don't kill the bull, do they get injured as well? What is it like for them
in
these countries?
Those things are similar. So this is only in Portugal, and all the other countries, they will also kill the bull in the arena. But they will do the similar things. However, the final kill is not done in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
But then the bull is killed and slaughtered in the slaughterhouse.
And then
eaten,
I would suppose.
Yeah, in most... this is the thing, I'm not sure that in every country they also consume the meat,
mm-hmm.
afterwards, but we know for sure that it's happening in Spain and in Mexico,
mm-hmm.
and I assume also in the other countries.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, also in Spain and in Mexico, they also advertise the meat as a very good quality meat, and they will, in Spain for example, will also offer it to guests in restaurants, for example, as a kind of delicatesse way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's even the case that these associations of bullfighters really promote this meat and make them look better or doing something good by, for example, saying in Mexico, this is a thing, that they will give all that meat to the food bank in order to help poor people have a good quality food, meat in this case. I see it as a way of greenwashing.
It does sound like greenwashing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they say that the quality is very good, but we know that this can't be the case, because usually the quality of meat is very poor if you stress the
mm-hmm.
animal a lot before it, and also because of the wounds and everything that are done to the bull,
mm-hmm.
this you can also see back in the meat afterwards.
How old are most bulls when they enter bullfights?
Yeah, they like 5 or 6 years, so
they
live before that time. They live with the herd in the,
mm-hmm.
at the farm where they are bred, and this is also something which the bullfighting sector tells, is that they live a very good and happy life with a high welfare standard,
mm-hmm.
Because they live on large pastures and with their families. And for part, okay, they live like this, so you can say up to then there's no really something going
mm-hmm.
on. However, during their life, these bulls are also tested, because they need to know whether a bull is actually suitable for the bullfight.
Mm-hmm.
So they start also doing tests and provocative things to see whether the bull actually is attacking in the first place. It can be that the ball doesn't do anything and that makes them unsuitable. But it can also be that the ball is too aggressive, so to say, or too smart. And in that case, he's also not suitable, or only for really good bullfighters, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And all the bulls that are not found suitable go to the slaughterhouse as meat, for meat consumption. Or, and that's something else which happens, besides the traditional bullfight, like I described before, there are also different patronal festivities celebrated with in which they use bulls and cows. And in Spain only there are 18,000 of these festivities, so we call them blood fiestas,
mm-hmm.
or in Spanish fiestas crueles.
Mm-hmm.
There are 18,000 of these organized in Spain every year. And so the non-suitable bulls for the bullfight can also go to these fiestas. And usually there they are not killed,
mm-hmm.
but they go back afterwards to the farm and they can be used another time and another time until they are totally tired, so to say. And then they also go to the slaughterhouse.
What happens at these blood fiestas?
Yeah, there are different types and they all are different. So compared to, for example, the traditional bullfight, there's not one description of how a fiesta should look like with a bull. But the most important or the most famous one, I should say, that most people will know, I guess, is the bull runs of Pamplona.
Mm-hmm.
So where the animals are chased through the streets. And after this event in Pamplona, these bulls end also up in the arena for a bullfight the same night. So this is one example where the bulls in the end are killed on the same day. But there are also fiestas with the fire bull. So this is, in this, they set the horns on fire. So they put burning material on the horns. They set it on fire. And then, of course, the bull is going crazy, running. And there are many people also around the bull. And they also can touch it before and afterwards. There are bulls in streets which they tie to ropes. So they do ropes around their horns, for example, or around other body parts, and then people pull on these ropes and the bull is also chased and running in the streets, but he also falls down many times. They also do this with calves, for example, and then
mm-hmm.
Younger children also participate in it. And and then you also have, for example, the bulls at the beach or bulls in the sea. And that's happening, for example, in Valencia, in Denia. And there they chase bulls or cows. In many cases, they use cows for this. They chase them first on the beach or on the coastline. And then they chase them into the sea. And then they are with little boats. They grab the animals and bring them back to the shore again. But last summer, for example, one bull drowned also during this. Because, and of course you can imagine it's very stressful for these animals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are not meant to swim and not used to do so. And then there are many crowds of people around them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then we also have different events with bulls in arenas. So not the bullfights, but then different events that happen there. And it can be, for example, also with younger animals that are used, or really only people on horses that provoke the bull. So there are many different forms. And these are the forms that we know exist in Spain, because we have done, together with our sister organization in Spain, Anima Naturalis, we've done a 3-year investigation on all these fiestas. So we have all video and photo material of these, and we know exactly how many happen in what villages or cities they are organized, and how many subsidies are also given
mm-hmm.
to the organization by the municipalities. So we know that it's more or less 18,000 of these. So that means that 22% of all Spanish municipalities organize at least one of these fiestas a year. And in total, all these municipalities spent 42 million euros on subsidies every year for the organization. And in many cases, these subsidies are provided by very small towns or villages where, for example, only are 1,000 inhabitants. So so it actually quite strange that these municipalities use a lot of money for organizing this,
mm-hmm.
while they could also invest this money in other things that will benefit the community.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that it's not just tolerated, but even so strongly supported financially.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, the money could have been used otherwise.
Yeah. Would bullfighting exist without the subsidies? Would that be tenable?
No. This is actually something we are quite sure of, that bullfighting, because these are fiestas sponsored by municipalities, and without the subsidies,
mm-hmm.
they can't really make money out of it to do it. Another way of subsidizing bullfighting is through the European agricultural subsidies. So the bull breeders,
mm-hmm.
of the bulls in Spain, but also in France and Portugal, they receive agricultural subsidies that are meant for food production.
Mm-hmm.
And they receive quite some because they have a lot of land to have these animals on. And so every year at least 130 million euros from the European agricultural subsidies is going to bull breeders. So every taxpayer in Europe is paying for this. And we know that without these subsidies is not, they can't make a living out of it. And it's even the case that these breeders are not full-time breeders. They have other things and they do this breeding as a kind of a side business. And in many cases, these are already very rich people that do this. And they become even more rich because of the subsidies.
Right. So that sounds very similar to the meat and dairy and egg industries in general that wouldn't be able to survive without government subsidies either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And maybe in the past this could be done because in the past people were going to the bullfights and the arenas were full of audience, so to say. But nowadays we see more and more that arenas are empty or that they don't not even for half or yeah, even less filled. So these ticket sales will not cover the costs.
Yeah, what is changing in public perception recently or throughout time?
Yeah, a lot is changing. So we see that in all the bullfighting countries, the majority of the public is now against it.
Mm-hmm.
And that majority is 70 or 80%. And this we know through surveys that have been done.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, the Ministry of Culture in Spain does every year research on how culture in general is perceived by Spaniards, but they also ask for bullfighting. And then we see that 8 in 10 Spaniards is against this thing. In the past, we knew that the majority was not really in favor of it, but then it was the case that they were also not really against it.
So more neutral.
Yeah.
Like it's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But we see that changing, that more and more people are against it. And for example, in Mexico, we also know that 73% of the people see it as an act of cruelty. In Colombia, 85% agrees with the prohibition of bullfighting. So that's a lot. Yeah. And from Spain, we also know it.
What is causing this culture shift? Do you have any idea?
Yeah, I think that people become aware that this is simply causing a lot of animal suffering. You see this, I think, in general. There's a trend that animal welfare and animal protection is becoming more important and people become aware. And I think in this case, it's also a success of the anti-bullfighting movement. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what we have been doing, of course, for many years, just to inform people and to show people what's happening. And from CAS, for example, we started, I mean, we exist 30 years and we have never had bullfighting in the Netherlands, but we have this organization. And CAS was established because the Spanish animal protection organizations asked, please do something about the Dutch tourists going to bullfighting. So this is how we started to inform tourists what was actually happening and asking them not to participate. And because this was something people didn't know. So they were, for example, by tourist agencies, they were offered excursions, or they could buy tickets for a bullfight. And then the argument was, yeah, this is really part of the culture. So if you want to learn about Spain, you need to go there and see it. But these people had no idea what was actually going to happen. So as soon as they were in the arena, they, well, more people left, for example, after one bull because they thought, what is this? Mm-hmm. They didn't know before. So this is something very important, I think, that we do, but also our sister organizations in all the different countries, just informing the public and educating also, for example, children about this.
So it's just education is really the answer.
Yeah, this. Because if there are no people going to visit, in the end it will stop. And also for children, it's important to know that this is not normal.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if we talk about children, it's important to mention that also the United Nations have already in 2014 made a call to all the bullfighting countries to ask them, please keep children away from this violence because it's bad for their development. And so some countries have done this. So, for example, in Portugal, it's not allowed to attend a bullfight under 16. But Spain, for example, hasn't done anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other countries that have set this limit for example, 18. Yeah.
I wonder if so many people are against it already. I mean, the numbers you just mentioned, like 80%, it's like huge numbers, and they're really against it and consider it as cruelty.
Mm.
Like, why is it so difficult to ban it then? Or like, why the politicians don't dare? Is there such a strong lobby behind it?
Yeah, that's basically the answer. So it's there's a strong lobby of very rich and important people and companies that still support it, and who also have their entries with politicians.
Yeah. Do you have examples of these companies? And
yeah, we know, for example, in Spain that, for example, also some rice companies are sponsored, but also...
Rice companies?
Yeah, but also, for example, the company of the Mao beers. They also sponsor. And in Mexico... there is this security company for securities for private people and companies, GNP. And that's a very large company and a big sponsor of bullfighting in Mexico, but also sponsor in Spain, bullfighting. So this is something we also know. So there are many rich companies behind it and rich people involved. And then there's also the case that in these bullfighting countries, the right political parties, they are also in favor of it because they really want to keep their culture. So this can be complicated, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the case of Spain, Spain has also declared bullfighting as cultural heritage in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And because they did so, these autonomic regions of Spain are not allowed to prohibit bullfighting because it's protected by the cultural heritage.
And could that be reversed?
Could be reversed, yeah.
And how would that be reversed?
Yeah, then they need to adapt the law again. So they need to do...
So enough people in the government need to vote against it, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Now, actually, we have a good development nowadays in Spain because there have been elections in last summer, and there's now, since 2 weeks, a government, finally. But it's a left government. So, and the Minister of Culture, the new one, already said that he's against bullfighting.
So for killing an animal, you have laws how to kill animal, and clearly the laws for bullfighting are very different from them.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is very opposing each other in a way that we really see that if you kill an animal, it should be with respect.
Yeah.
But then we have bullfighting, that's very different laws.
Yeah. And we would see this as not respectful, but the bullfighting sector sees it differently. So they think this is respectful also, because they kind of honor this bull. So this bull should be kind of put on a stage, so to say, that he can actually participate in bullfighting. Then they have these laws also for the killing, and there it is also said that this killing should be done by only these the matadors, the bullfighters that are also trained to do it. So it's not allowed, for example, that another person walking around in the arena or being there could do it. So in that sense, they have regulations, but and also, for example, in the fiestas, but also the killing itself should be done without unnecessary suffering. But of course, this is a very strange expression if you think of the whole bullfight.
Yeah.
And then there is another thing. Because we discovered, and that's a very recent thing we've done, that Spain in particular has made laws which consider the killing of the bull in the arena as an emergency slaughter. And the emergency slaughter is regulated in European regulations. And that can be done to animals that had an accident, for example, on a farm. So they have a broken leg and therefore they are not allowed to be transported to the slaughterhouse. But they are still fit for human consumption. So this means that these animals can be killed by emergency slaughter on the farm, and then the carcass is transported to the slaughterhouse in which it's processed to meat. And now, so Spain has now said, yeah, we also consider this killing of the bull in the arena as an emergency slaughter.
Excuse my language, but I find that bullshit.
Yeah, that's what we think.
Yeah.
It's so, this is an incorrect implementation of European law.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, we filed a complaint at the European Commission.
Mm. How did they respond?
They didn't respond yet, because that can take quite some time. But we expect by the end of this year or the beginning of next year a response, whether it's actually accepted as a complaint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they will start, of course, a procedure. Or first they try to solve it or resolve it with Spain in a diplomatic way.
Yeah.
But if Spain doesn't have the right answers or the right argumentation why they think this can be done, then the European Commission can start a so-called infringement procedure.
Mm.
And then it can even go to the European Court.
Wow.
So
it's a big deal.
Yeah. It's important, I think. I mean, it will not stop bullfighting. But I think it's strange that they kind of profit from everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they do a cultural thing, and that's why they say it's legitimate to do it. But at the same time, they use European subsidies, and they can sell the meat of these bulls in whole Europe. And that is because they can put this stamp on it that this animal was killed by emergency slaughter.
Yeah, that's it's really crazy. I mean, also link it back to the previous question about respectfully killing. I think that's kind of a contradiction in terminis. So it's self-contradicting because, you cannot respectfully kill someone who doesn't want to die. And even if someone wants to die, like for example, if we have a dog or a cat who only lives in pain and we want to kill them, we wouldn't chop off their head, but we would give them like a euthanasia. We do it out of respect that we euthanize them. So I think we should never use the word respectful killing in combination with slaughterhouses, first of all, as an addition to that. And I think what's very interesting is that you have these poorly regulated slaughter or emergency slaughter, which is very cruel in public. And people are, at least some people, are still cheering to it. And simultaneously, I know from the animal rights movement, we have this term, slaughterhouses have glass walls, everybody would be vegetarian. But in a bullfighting arena, you don't even have walls, you don't even have glass, you see everything directly, and it's even more cruel. Mm-hmm. And people are cheering. Like, what is going on there?
Yeah, however, of course, they don't have glass walls. So in the arena, there are only people that want to be there and want to see it. So the people on the street mm-hmm. that are against it don't see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Of course, it can be broadcasted also on the television. But in that, they also don't show the killing part, for example.
Mm.
So the question is, what would happen, of course, if these arenas, or it would kind of happen in public and other people would see it. Only people that want to be there and go there for that goal, they are present there. And the other people don't know what's actually happening.
In slaughterhouses, people that work there experience trauma from their work. Do you think that the bullfighting gives this trauma also to the spectators and the matadors?
We don't know whether this makes that these people are different on, for example, how they perceive violence, or whether they would themselves engage in certain behaviors that are violent. A particular case in Mexico, and this is something interesting. One and a half, 2 years ago, there was an NGO in Mexico City, and they have said this NGO was focused on human rights. And in Mexican law, it is a very important aspect which is included there, is that all humans have the right for a safe and healthy environment. Now, what this NGO did, they put it in front of a judge, and they said, this bullfighting practice is against this right for a healthy and safe environment. Because what they said is, there is a connection between attending bullfighting, or as a bullfighter, or as audience, and domestic violence, and especially violence against women. And violence against women, and also in broader sense, domestic violence, is a very big problem in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So after this claim from the NGO, this judge said, okay, we are going to investigate this, whether there's indeed this link, this relation. And in the meantime, there are no bullfights allowed in Mexico City. In Mexico, so there's, for 1.5 years, there are no bullfights taking place in the arena of Mexico City, which is actually the biggest arena in the world.
Wow.
And a similar case we have done with our Mexican sister organizations, which is Anima Naturales Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
We did that also in another city, Guadalajara. And we did the same claim together with a claim about animal welfare legislation, which is not followed. And there the judge did the same now. So that's very recent. That's only since 1.5-2 weeks that we know. There, they also have suspended now the bullfights until it is clear what the problem is.
This is super interesting, I think, also especially in general for the vegan movement, because we know that areas in which slaughterhouses have been established, they suffer from the same problems, that the criminality rates increase, and also especially sexual and violent crimes. And we see that people who work in slaughterhouses also show horror rates of especially these crimes, and now we think, okay, they are regularly committing violence to animals, quite similarly to people who work in bullfighting arenas. So what are the parallels, and what can we learn as a vegan movement from these type of arguments that human rights organizations use against the bullfighting?
You have to investigate, I think, whether there is this clear relationship. However, also if for example the people that participate in the violence, so to say, in a broader sense, we know, of course, that they can, for example, also block their their feelings, and what it does to them. So it might be that in that sense they don't like suffer from it directly, but I also think it's problematic if people need to block what they actually should or would feel without blocking it. So in general, I think for human beings, it's never good if you normalize violence in whatever way. And that's, I think, similar with killing animals in slaughterhouses, but also in bullfighting. This topic of culture and tradition is always said, okay, this is very hard to change because people have the right for their culture and their traditions, and it's so deeply embedded in societies that it's very hard to change. However, with bullfighting, we see that it's changing. I mean, years ago, it was normal. It was part of the culture, but now in these countries, the majority of people is against it. So they don't see it as a part of their culture anymore, and they don't see it as something important to protect. So in that sense, I think you can see that even in cultural and traditional things, it's possible to change it. And I think the consumption of meat or animal products in broader sense has for a large part also a cultural component or traditional component, because people are used to it, and these things are hard to change in general. Furthermore, eating together, and now we are going to have Christmas and everything again, so especially then you can see that there is a whole culture around consuming animal products together. And so it has for a large part also a cultural or social component, and that can make it hard. Mm-hmm. However, I think if people know what is actually happening or what's needed for it, and that they have a choice for a different thing, that in the end it can be changed.
That reminds me of a quote by someone, the former CEO of a big German meat company, which started producing a lot of vegan alternatives. It's called Rügenwalder Mühle. And he said, the sausage is the cigarette of the future. And because smoking also had this huge cultural component. Yep. But now people are very embarrassed, and there's a lot of shaming towards smoking. And maybe we could also say, maybe the sausage is the bullfighting of the future, because there the attitudes change as well.
Yeah, and there, what you say for that people are ashamed, this is happening already in bullfighting. Since the 80s or something, it's not very cool or very nice to think of a bullfighter as a hero anymore.
Mm.
But before, they were seen as kind of a hero. That it has changed already, and now it's just something which people, well, most people will think, how crazy is this? And I mean, yeah.
Our last question to you is, as a vegan student association and as like a general public, what can we do to help you in this fight against bullfighting?
Yeah, the first thing is, of course, but I assume that you would not attend bullfighting. That is not attending bullfighting or similar events.
Done.
Of course, that's one.
Easy.
Then actively also speak up against it. And for example, if you are a tourist and if you are in a certain place where it takes place, you can of course in public express that you are against it, or share it on your social media or whatsoever, or for example write to a municipality that you don't agree with these kind of blood fiestas happening there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course share the campaigns that we do, that our sister organizations do. And for example, also participate in our petitions that we have. For example, we have one petition against the blood fiestas, and that's on the website bloodfiestas.org. And there you can also find all the information about what is happening, but there you can also sign. And
We will link that in our notes for the podcast as
well. For example, and of course, you can always become like a sponsor or help in that way with our organizations or the sister organizations in the countries. And I would say, if you know people in your network that would go there, or that you know that are in favor of it, of course you can inform them about the things that are actually happening. And yeah, that's it, I think.
Yeah. It was very informative to have you here. Honestly, I really enjoyed our conversation and our discussion. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for the invitation.
And also, see you next time, because we can already link towards our next episode, because Maite is going to visit us again, and we're going to talk about pest control. So see you next time.
Yeah, see you then.